This morning, we're kicking off our series, Four Cups. And I got to tell you, I'm very excited about this series because it's all about, it really just encompasses who we are as a church. And it's got everything to do with our flow and just where we're headed together as the church and in unity. And I will say this, that this is also a series that'll take us through Easter. Easter's 2 weeks away. Yeah, hard to believe. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and I want to just encourage you, be praying, be thinking about people that you can invite to come be with you, whether it's neighbors, whether it's some family members, friends, coworkers, classmates, and I'm going to talk to you more about that at the end of service. We've got just a little tool that we would love to put in your hands before you leave here today as well. But this Four Cups, actually, first of all, originates from one of our pastors, Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands, and he wrote a book called Four Cups, all right? And I want to encourage you, if you want it, you can go on Amazon.com and you can pick up this book. It's an amazing tool, amazing book. And we love Pastor Chris, and we are so thankful for Church of the Highlands. And Pastor Dino also serves on staff there. He oversees the Birmingham Dream Center that's down there in at Church of the Highlands. And so who was here with us last week. But I'm really excited, and as I get in this message here today, when actually Pastor Chris had wrote this book, he was in Israel, and that's on my bucket list, by the way. Everybody needs a bucket list, by the way. How many of y'all got bucket lists? Like, not mentally. Like, you need to write them down. Like, seriously. I encourage people to do that. Actually, it was something I was challenged with probably a little bit over a year ago. Mark Batterson wrote the book on The Circle Maker, and that was really where for the first time I thought, man, I need a bucket list. He talked about that, and so there's some things, you know, spiritually as a family, maybe career wise that you need to believe God for and to accomplish during your life. Amen, everybody. So it's good. Everybody say the bucket list. Yeah, you got to have a bucket list. And so I will say this, and Pastor Chris is over there in Israel and picked up and learned some things. And so it was about 4 years ago that I was really given just a great understanding and greater revelation of the story that really comes out of Luke chapter 22 when Jesus was observing the Passover Seder, which that word Seder is actually just means order. And so he was, they were observing the Passover together as the disciples. And every time I've read that story, and I've read that story, I told Bethany this week, I said, I think I've read that story 1,000 times and always saw it one way until about 4 years ago. And I always saw it that in the time when Jesus and his disciples partook of communion, that I always read and always saw with my understanding that there were two cups, but actually there were four. And this is really powerful stuff. And I'm telling you, through this series, I want to just encourage you, buckle in, all right? Because this series has ridiculous potential to just ignite your life. And I'm not just saying that to try to sound cute on a new series, but I really believe if you will lock in together with us during this series and have faith and believe God, God's going to do some incredible things. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not real satisfied with where I'm just at in my life. I'm not cool with just going as is and just living this way. I'm believing for God for a whole lot more in my life and in our church. Can somebody say amen in the house today? So I want to encourage you to just buckle in with us. But as we look at this today, there is really what was called the four cups of the Passover. And in Jewish tradition, there would have been a meal and candles that had been lit, and then four cups of wine that would have been represented. Now, the interesting, powerful thing about this is that when they would partake, and this is still true today in the Jewish custom of the tradition of the Last Supper, that they will read excerpts from some scriptures out of the book of Exodus. And we're going to read that to you this morning. And that particular verses of scripture is really helps us as a church and really kind of helps define a lot of the things that we do. It's really where we get a lot of our growth track from as well. And so it's powerful stuff. So they would read an excerpt from the scripture and then they would drink a cup of the wine. And so every part of that verse has everything to do with the promise that is for your life. And so it represents God's eternal plans for you, represents God's future for you. And there have always been four promises that God has back in the days of Moses that he actually gave to the Israelites. So I want to encourage you this morning to just be open to what God wants to say to your life. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I just want to encourage you, listen. And listen well to what God is saying to us. And so we're going to go through this over the next 5 weeks and looking at this story and looking at these promises that God has given us is exactly what we have adopted as a church out of the scripture of the book of Exodus. And so the truth is, you know, we are in a place, and I hope that you desire more from God than where you're at. And, you know, we're in a place that, you know, when we were thinking about what to name this church some years ago, the original name, I don't know if I've ever shared this on a Sunday before, but the original name that we were actually going to name this church was Church Without Walls. And because we just had a heart and a passion to see God move in our city, to see God move outside of the four walls of the church, and to see a city know Jesus. And so that was the origin of what we were going to name the church. But then God really kind of challenged me to really look at some things a little bit more. And one day, just really, it just kind of popped in my heart and my spirit, just that word, elevate. And I got thinking about an elevator. Well, it usually goes up. I like to think of an elevator going up. But the word elevate is really powerful because it means to raise up or to lift something up or to lift something up to a higher position. And that's what I see for us as a church, that we lift up the name of Jesus together. Come on, somebody. And that we have an attitude and a heart that God is going to be lifted up in the city of Fort Wayne, and that we will see Jesus spread through the world globally. And our job is to populate heaven and empty hell. Amen, everybody? Good. All right, so we have this attitude in this heart that this is our desire and this is what we're believing God for, and that's to see people's lives elevated to the calling that God has for them to do. And so I want to start off in talking about some of the promises, because over 3,000 years ago, God made these promises to the Israelites, and these promises stand true today, and they have everything to do with your life and mine. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, let's look at this scripture first. It says, God has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. All right, so God has given us some promises, and that divine nature is the natural, this earth that we live in. There's a natural realm. There's a spiritual realm. And so it goes on to say, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So out of this scripture, there's promises really that do two things. First of all, it helps us. God's promises help us to participate in this earth, in this natural earth. But the frustrating thing for a lot of people is we just get stuck living life. We just get stuck doing 9 to 5 every week and getting up and doing our routines. And there's nothing wrong with having routines. But I want to encourage you, God has so much more for you than what you're seeing. And that's where God is interested in helping us, taking us from a place of just living in the natural to knowing that there is a supernatural life. Can I tell you this morning that God has not called you to live a natural life, but God has called you to live a supernatural life, because you and I are just natural. But that's why we need God to combine his super with our natural. Come on, somebody. All right? And I want to encourage you today to understand and have a heart that says, God, I want your supernatural life working through me. I'm not here, God, to cut a deal, but what I want is your best for my life. And I want to figure out the plan of God and your purpose in the earth. And the second thing that we see from that scripture is that we escape the corruption of the world. And we do that by understanding the word of God, that it is a weapon, that it is a sword. And so before we actually talk about some of these promises, I think it's important that we understand them and learn a little bit of what really promises are and what it looks like. Jot this down if you're following along with me this morning. We first of all have to understand that a promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. One that often begins with someone declaring what they will do for us. And so chances are that you have probably been given plenty of promises in the past. And some of you may have been in a place where you have seen promises fulfilled, and some of us may have been in a place where we have seen promises broken. And it's always tough to be on the other side of that, to experience broken promises. And so, but I want to just tell you this morning that when God promises something, he always fulfills it. I'm looking for a little better amen than that. But when God promises something, he always fulfills it. All right, there you go. Just want to make sure you're with me this morning. And so it may not always be in the way or in the timing in which you want it, though. And that's what gets frustrating, I think, for us sometimes, is because we want God to work on our watch. Come on, how you ever been there? You ever been there? You've been frustrated, like you've been praying and you've been believing, and it still ain't happening in the time frame that you want. And it always seems like God shows up late, but really, we know he's always on time. He's just got a different watch than you. It looks better than yours. All right? And so we just got to relax to understand that God's purpose and God's truth is always greater than our understanding and where we're at, because God foresees things that you cannot see. And for that, we need to give God thanks that he is seeing beyond where we see. And he knows beyond what we currently know. I'm so glad for that. But he always keeps his promises. Look at the person next to you and say, God always keeps his promises. Always, always. Joshua 21:45. It says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Though the children of Israel questioned God and didn't know if God would come through, God still came through. And he stayed faithful to his word. And his promises were fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 17 and 18, we're going to throw some message Bible verses at you today. I just love the way the Message Bible speaks sometimes, just like in your face, like up in your grill. I love it. It says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. Watch this. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Everybody say it's unchangeable. I'm just going to pause right there. How many are thankful that you and I don't serve a moody God? Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! How many know people, man, they will fail you. Yeah, people disappoint you. That's why our eyes cannot be on man. If you get your eyes on what man can do for you, I promise they will fail you. I promise they will disappoint you. But if you will keep your eyes on the only one who's unchangeable, he'll never fail you. His promises endure. And so I want to encourage you this morning to understand that you and I serve a God who is unchangeable, whose love, guess what, is in a place that is unchangeable, it's unconditional. That even in the midst of our biggest screw-ups and mess-ups, guess what, he's there to lift us up out of whatever we're facing and to say, I got you, let's keep walking. It's unchangeable. I'm so glad, because people can be moody. Come on, don't act like you ain't been moody this week. Y'all know you've been moody a little bit, right? But thanks be to God that he's not, that he's consistent. And can I just tell you this real quick? You can really find a place of consistency with God where you don't experience the ups and downs so much. And when you understand who your God is and that your sight and your eyes are fixed on him, that's where you experience stability. That's where you experience consistency. How many of y'all love consistency? Yeah, and that should be a desire that we all have. Let's continue to read. It says, we who have run for our very lives to God have every reason, I love this, imagine in your mind this part of the scripture, to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. Man, think about that this morning. Imagine reaching with both hands and saying, God, I am so desperate for your promises to be fulfilled in my life. That God, I'm not interested in just living life. I want to live the God life. I don't want to waste away and just experience the unlived life. I want the God life. And I'm going to reach up, God. And what that to me, when I looked at that scripture this week, what that shows me, it's really a sign of desperation. It says, God, I want your promises. I want your presence. And as we reach hold to that which God has for us, guess what? We are brought into his presence. And can I tell you, there's nothing greater than being in the habitation of the presence of Almighty God. There ain't nothing cooler to experience than his presence. That's what's amazing. So let me give you a couple thoughts on these verses very quickly and to bring us some understanding of to understand his promises. And first of all, jot this one down, is I need to know his promises. I need to know them. You can't claim promises, you can't claim them if you don't know them. 1 Chronicles 17:19 says, O Lord, for the sake of your servant, and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. Where has God made his promises? In his word. In his word. The Bible is a book of promises. It's a book of love. Guess what? Over the last couple weeks, man, man, the enemy trying to hit my family with sickness. I'm trying to work through something myself, and my voice is cracking. All right, I'm over 13. So just know that. Just know I'm working through whatever I'm working through. But let me say this. You know, you've got to know his promises. And I'll tell you this, when my son was you know, 8 months old in a hospital bed, how many know that is every parent's just worst nightmare? It's hard. It's difficult. And I knew I had a decision to make, that you've got to know the promises of God. And I knew, and that's why even in the midst of sickness, maybe you're dealing with sickness in your body, you got to know the scriptures. Know what the promises of God declare to you. That Psalm 103 verse 3, that he is the God who heals all of our diseases. You may be in the fight of your life this morning, but you need to understand Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, that Jesus said, I've given you all authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all. It may say all. All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You may be dealing with fear and the enemy trying to intimidate you. You need to remind him of Psalm 27:1 that says, God, you are my light. You are my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Finances may be trying to wreck your life, but the word of God says in Philippians 4:19 that guess what? That he is the supplier of every need in your life. You've got to know the promises. Know the promises of God. Can you say amen? You got to know him. You got to know him. You got to speak him. So I'm in the hospital room, and there he lays. And every day I was in there declaring the promises. I know what the enemy's trying to jack with and say in my mind, but I ain't going to let the enemy jack with me. I'm going to declare the promises of God. And you know what? He's chilling back there with the other kids this morning. Glory to God. Chilling, sleeping. All right? It's good. And so I want to encourage you with that and understand that even God has something to say. He, you know, there's a scripture that says, crown him. That God will crown him with many crowns. You can take that as your promise in the dentist office. Come on, somebody. Open wide thy mouth. Okay, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke, all right? But when life does not make sense, you've got to hold on to the promises of God. Jot this one down. I need to understand his promises. Some people get real frustrated at God. They think God has false advertisement going on. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Thank you, Lord. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? His promises are eternal. His promises are unconditional for you and I today. And I believe this, that every promise has a premise, meaning this, that you and I play a part in seeing the promises of God fulfilled in our life. How many want to really see what God has for your life fulfilled? And I pray that's every one of our prayers. And God is the one who fulfills the promises, but you and I have responsibility in the process. And I believe there's three things and three conditions I think we need to meet if we're going to see some of those. These are not in your notes. If you want to find some margin, jot it down very quickly. I'm going to give it to you. First of all is we must be obedient to God. We've got to make a decision that sin is not our friend, that sin isn't going to be a part of our lives. Sin is what keeps us from God and his best, that we make a decision that, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to have a life that's totally radically obedient to you. And have this radical abandonment. Whatever it takes, God, to fulfill your will, I'm going to do it. But sin can it can hinder you. And, you know, I have things that I can give my kids, but if they choose to not be a part of my family, I can't give it. How many understand what I'm talking about? So we've got to understand there's got to be an obedience on our part. Secondly is this, is we've got to walk in and by faith. And I understand that's not always easy. Can I give you some counsel this morning? Can I give you some pastoral advice today? Can I give you a leadership lesson this morning? It's always going to be that way. This life is always going to require the element of faith. The Bible says without faith, we cannot please God. So there's a journey called faith that God has called every one of us to walk. Even seeing what God has done in this church, we had to walk by faith. We're still walking by faith, trust me. And still believe in God. But in our own lives as well. And then thirdly is this, is probably one of the biggest things. And I admittedly struggle with this. And I constantly pray for God to help me in this. That we must be patient. And we must wait on God's timing. We must do things His way and not our way. I'm telling you, when you have the understanding and the maturity to get out of the way, that's the greatest place that God can begin to do some supernatural, miraculous stuff in your life. It's when you just get out of the way and say, God, really, it ain't about me. Just as John the Baptist prayed that, God, that you would increase and that I would decrease. He knows exactly when to fulfill every promise, and you and I have to learn to trust His judgment. I'll say this over the years of ministry, that I have seen many casualties because of this, of some not being able to get this. And they want to go ahead of time, or they want to do things prematurely, and they want to do things maybe, they wait too long sometimes. And so God's timing is perfect. Everybody say, God's timing is perfect. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Everybody say, they're yes. They're yes in Christ, and so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Lastly, jot this one down, is I need to pursue His promises. I need to chase them. I need to have a lifestyle that says that, God, I am not going to pull back. I'm not going to withdraw. What I'm going to do is pursue, pursue, pursue. I'm going to run, I'm going to run, I'm going to run. I'm going to chase, I'm going to chase after Your promises, and I'm going to do what You want me to do. And really, this series is all about spiritual maturity. This series has everything to grow you, has everything to do with helping to grow your life. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 140 says that, Lord, Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and Your servant loves them. Verse 148, next scripture, says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may, I love that, meditate on Your promises. God has got a promise for every situation in your life. He's got a verse for every situation in your life. And so we've got to constantly be in a place where we're thinking about God's promises, where we're focusing on His promises and chasing after them. I love this understanding, and I want you to, if you can, write this down too. We've got to understand what promise is. When I looked at it this week, it was powerful. Promise literally means to send forth. To send forth. So promise implies the future. So you cannot promise about something that has happened in the past. But promise has everything to do with future. So if you know them, if you understand them, if you pursue them, there is a better life currently waiting on you. Think about that. That's my prayer for Elevate. Is that, God, that we would not just be a people that just does church. Come on. But that we would be a people that are so desperate for the presence of God, that we want more of God and less of us, so that we can be vessels of honor for God to use in the earth and right here in the city of Fort Wayne. That we would have that heart, that we would carry that attitude that says, God, what You want is what I want. And so there's a better life. And I don't know about you, I want and I desire to pursue the life God has for me. And if you're fine with your life and where everything is at, and you know, you feel like you're just tipping through the tulips and you don't need anything else happening and change and all that, then I'm envious of you, admittedly, this morning. But I challenge you, because I believe all of us are in a place that we need to continue to grow. That's why I love this church. I even love what Pastor Dino said last week about this place, that this is a high commitment environment, that low commitment environments never change you. But when God calls us higher, guess what? That means less of us, more of Him. You're preaching good, Pastor Kyle. Thank you. All right. But God has made us a lot of promises. There's four things I want us to look at, four core promises. And God made these to the Israelites, all right, when they were in Egypt. Here it is, Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. This is powerful stuff. It says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And again, this is the verse of scripture that they would read at the Passover, at the supper. We're going to talk about the Passover next week, because that's actually when it partook. And so on Palm Sunday, we're going to look at that. And well, technically on Thursday, but we're going to look at it in depth next week on the Passover specifically. But he said, I am the Lord, and here's the first cup. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. They would take a drink. The second cup, I will free you from being slaves to them. Now, for some, we may think, man, that kind of sounds like the same thing, but it's not. God said, first of all, I'm going to bring you out of wherever you're at, wherever your struggles are. I'm going to first bring you out of that place. And then God says, then I will free you from being slaves to that. Saying, I know I've brought you out of Egypt, but you still got some Egypt in you that needs to come out. So let me do my work. Let me do my thing. I want to free you from being slaves of that. Goes on to say, third cup, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I, the fourth cup, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The Jewish people actually call this, if I could retitle this message, it would be this. Jewish people call this the four I wills of God. It's powerful stuff. They are part of the annual Passover celebration, again, that I'll talk on next week. And they're still in the heart of God today. Let's look at the first one. Number one is out of that scripture of Exodus 6. God said, I will bring you out. God's desire first is to bring us out of the bondage that currently is holding us back from him. Before he does anything else, God promises me salvation. Salvation is not being religious. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation is saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. Salvation is saying, God, take complete control of my life. That's what salvation is. Repentance means a change of direction. It's saying, God, I no longer want this life, the one that's messing me up, the one that's taking me from you. God, I'm ready. Repentance means a change of direction. That God, I'm now going to pursue the life that you have for me and all your promises for my life. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. I read this verse this week out of the message, and I got pumped. I was like, man, I love this. I love just how this puts it to us. It wasn't so long ago, it says, that we ourselves were stupid. Amen. Come on, somebody. And stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands. Now, I think that's funny. You need to understand what that means. That means that whatever your body wants to do, that's what the scripture is saying, you do. So we were all once in that place that whatever our bodies wanted to do, we just did. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hating and hating back. How many of y'all ever had some haters in your life? But this scripture is saying you were hated, but you were really no better because you hated back. It says, but when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, this is it, here it comes, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath. I love that. I like a good bath. And we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift that has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more. Underline, circle, put a smiley face, come on. There's more life to come. You're not just living for this life, gang. We're living for eternity. And you can count on this. And some of us, before we leave today, need to make a decision with Jesus and saying, God, I need saved from myself. God promises you salvation. Number two, here's the second cup. He said, I will free you. So guess what? When you are saved and you come into a relationship with God, your spirit man is made perfect. But your natural man needs some work. All right? It's like I think I'll give you this example, this analogy. Judah, my son Judah, he's a baby. He's fully alive, but he has a lot of growing to do. Judah's not going to go down to Longhorn after church and have a steak dinner. Come on. I mean, he needs some teeth first, right? So, I mean, the Mills home loves some good steak. All right, any steak lovers in the house? Talk to me. All right, there we go. All right. And so, but it's saying, God, I want to allow your will. I want to allow your work in my life because I realize that I cannot do this on my own. I cannot maintain me. It's impossible for you to maintain you. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the working of God's presence in your life, and you need to welcome and invite him into your life to do that. So God promises me deliverance. All of us have areas that we need deliverance. And deliverance is not for people with just demons, all right? We hear that word, I think it freaks people out. For like it's some spooky thing. No, deliverance is for anybody that's still struggling with that sinful nature. That's still struggling in that place that's keeping them from God. So it's for anyone who is in that place. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. And then we're going to look at chapter 8, verse 2. Here's the Apostle Paul. He gets it. Dude understood it. He said, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. He says, so man, I love everything to do with Jesus, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. He's recognized, I've got to struggle. Maybe y'all can understand that. He says, I want all of God, but yet I'm still in this place where I'm struggling with sin. He needs God's delivering power. Chapter 8, verse 2. I love this. It says, so therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. Deliverance is different from salvation. Salvation, guess what? Takes care of your eternity. But deliverance determines our quality of life on this earth. Salvation is an instant thing. Deliverance is a process. And so sometimes when we're in that place and we need the help of God, we got to understand it's a process that we need God's working and we need God's help. And we need even God's people sometimes to help us along the way. And some of you are in this place that you need this promise. For some, we can never get past the second cup to the third cup because we feel like we're stuck. We feel like we're in a place. And I want you to know today, God is welcoming you to his table. He's inviting you to his table to receive the promise that you can be free. Amen. You can be free. It may be an addiction. It may be a sin issue. Whatever it is, under the power of God's grace and his love and his forgiveness, you can be free. And you don't have to have condemnation. God doesn't work that way. And so if you're feeling that, you need to just understand God's will is to help. God's will is to lift that thing from your life so that you can move forward in the promises that he has. Amen, everybody? Here's the third thing. Jot this one down here just a second. The third cup is I will redeem you. To redeem something means to put it back to its original intent. So once we experience salvation, once we experience that deliverance, God promises me restoration. I'm telling you, man, this is the adventure, and this is when the Christian life gets real exciting. That's why I love it. God just doesn't stop at the first and second cup. He's, I'm going to work that. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to take what's in you out of you to help you and put some great things in you, and then I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you. But unfortunately, many people sometimes don't get to this place. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. Listen, before you were ever chasing God, he was always chasing you first. Had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. God has a plan for your life. God's plan for your life is to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Guess what? That's the goal of this church. The goal of this church is to help you, bring you out of whatever you're facing and to help whatever it is that's holding you back to get it out of you and then so that you can go on to the plan and the future that God has for your life and never look back again. You can be changed from the inside out by the working of the power of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say a good amen? Amen. So it's receiving and understanding God's restoration and his restoring power. I don't know if you've ever been in that place when you just abandon all and say, God, I really, really, really want to do what you want. And God, life will never make sense and life will never feel fulfilling until you have that place in my life. And so some of us need to get this. We need to understand that there's more to this journey than to where you're at. That's why we have the growth track even tonight, our 301 and 401. We're actually combining tonight and you can be a part of discovering. That's the next steps for you. We're starting up again on Easter Sunday. We're believing for a bunch of people to get to be saved Sunday on that Easter weekend as well, and to see a bunch of people make a commitment to Christ and dive in. That's how the best time to dive in is when God is working on you and you say yes to what he wants. Amen? Here's the last one. It's number four. Here's the fourth cup. He said in Exodus 6, that I will take you as my own people. The final promise of God. He said, I want to put you on a team. I want you to make a difference. This is the ultimate goal. God is saying, I want to connect you. I want people in your life to do life. I want to connect you with a local church. I want to connect you with a vision. I want to connect you on a team. Can I tell you this? And I encourage you, I'm giving you a couple things today just to write down. If you want to write them down, you can. If not, it's totally cool. But God never fulfills his best in a person by themselves. It's always with people. Always in groups. Always in community. It's amazing. God never fulfills his best in a person who's just by themselves. So today, there's an offer on the table to you from God to bring you out of the bondage of the thing that's trying to hold you back, to let God heal you and be your deliverer. And I believe this, you'll never really fully experience fulfillment until you're making a difference in the life of somebody else. Man, I'm telling you, there is no greater joy for us as a church than when we see hands lifted up, people for the very first time that accept Jesus, and then they make the next decision, the next step, and they go on growth track, they go in small groups, and they begin to journey out. We're seeing people, just lives being changed. It's been amazing. Just in the last couple months, our dream team is getting ready to add over 50 new people. Church is growing. Things are happening. We're healthy. We're strong. Why? Because God is having his way. He's going to build his church. That's the posture of the leadership in this church. Is that God, you build this place. Because we don't want to be a people that labor in vain. Mm-mm. Listen, I don't know about you, but I ain't into wasting time. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It's hard enough waiting in lines to eat and go see a movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want what God wants. I want it now. You can see why I pray for patience so much. I want it now. I want to see God do it now, you know? And so, but the offer's on the table because God promises me fulfillment. This last scripture, I've really heard it in the church for years. And this week, I just felt like I looked at it different than I ever have. It says, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I think people get stuck there. Hear my heart on this. The enemy's already been defeated. Quit giving the enemy the attention that he doesn't deserve. And give God the attention he deserves. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus so much on the issue. Focus on the one who can handle the issue. Focus on the one who can eliminate and heal the wounds and the hurts and remove the stain of sin from your life. I love it. Jesus said, and this is the part we got to focus on, is I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's God's great invitation to you. He's welcoming you and inviting you to the table today. We're all in a walk. We're all in a journey together. And I want you to know God has a plan for you. And I'm telling you, today is the day that some of us are going to make some decisions for Jesus and go forward in the power of his might and begin to receive and claim those promises in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? Amen. Would you bow your head right where you're at? God, we thank you so much for your promises, for they are yes and they are amen. And God, you are such an amazing, loving God, Lord, that you're welcoming us, inviting us to your table. I'm so thankful for a God who loves us unconditionally, whose grace is sufficient for us. Jesus, we need you. I want to ask you a question with every head bowed and all eyes closed, just for this moment here. I want to ask you, are you following God's plan? Let me say it this way. Are you calling the shots or is God calling the shots? Salvation is when you confess that Jesus is Lord and he calls the shots. There's an offer to every one of us in this room right now to come and to say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be calling the shots. I need you. I need to give my life to you. I'm tired of living the way I want, God. I need a new direction. I need a fresh start. Come on, for people all over this room, I believe God is working. God is here. With every head bowed, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to do any of that. If you say, just unashamed, say, God, that's me. I need to make a decision, a fresh start for God. All over this room, if that's you, why don't you lift your hands up right now, all over this place. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else that says, that's me. That's me. Proud of you. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of you. Awesome. Awesome. And people lifting their hands, that's awesome. Saying, God, I want to give my life to you. I want you to just pray this in your heart. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to, in your heart, just to repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. God, I need a change. I need a fresh start. I need a new direction. Lord, I'm not living for myself. I refuse to live for myself any longer. Today, I make a decision that I'm going to live for Jesus all the days of my life. I welcome you into my heart. God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. I'm going forward in this life that God has for me. In Jesus' name.